Forget about that. I was studying one word on the parasha. Time is very short today. We have double parasha. We have shiurim we have to give in the yeshiva. They were collecting money for the Mishkan. One of the main rules when it comes to the Beit HaMikdash, when it comes to the Mishkan, the Pasuk says, Sone Gezel Be'ola, that the money that's collected has to be clean money. Anything that comes from Chas V'Shalom, shady money that was stolen or had a questionable, cannot be used for the Kodesh. The Kodesh has to be Zahav Tahor, which means the Zahav has to be Tahor. That has to be pure, not only pure from any impurities, but pure from any improprieties. The money has to be earned in a Tahor way. That's a very important principle when it comes to the Mishkan. The Gemara says even if a person stole wheat and he grinded it up and he made it into bread, Aresh Gazal Hita Tahana V'Afa'a, even though according to the law, technically he owns it after that because he made all these shinuim, he made all these changes to it. So the bread becomes his. However, the Gemara says he cannot make a beracha on such a bread. Even though it's technically his, because although he has to pay the guy back for the bread, but the bread itself is his because he was kone b'shinui. There's a certain concept that when you make a shinui on something, so it becomes yours. So even though he owns the bread, but he cannot make a beracha on such a thing. Enze levarech ela mina'etz. How could you make a barakah on something that came to you through stealing? Even though now, technically it's yours. Ownership, it's yours. But what's the roots of this bread? The roots of this bread came in Gezer. So clearly, when they were collecting money for the Mishkan, one of the things they had to be very, very careful is that the money that they were giving was clean money. Problem is, where did the Jewish people get their money from? They got their money from the Egyptians. Very interesting. Where's the Humash? The Jewish people, when they were in Egypt, right before they leave, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he tells them that before they leave they're going to take the money of the Egyptians. One of the pesukim here is very hard to understand. The pesuk says, that they're going to borrow the money. V'sha'ala isha v'shechinta megarat beta, that they're going to borrow money from their neighbors. And not only are they going to borrow money from their neighbors, but the pasuk says, v'yish'alu ish me'et re'ehu. Interesting. Ish me'et re'ehu. Re'ehu. What kind of friends is that exactly? These are the tormentors of 210 years. Imagine going to tell the Jews in Germany, you're on the way out, go to your friends. And what friends? Any friends left in Germany? Machshemam v'zichram. And here the Torah says, "Daber na be'oznei ha'am," speak to the people. V'yishalu ish me'et re'ehu. This word Re'ehu is a very hard word to understand. What Re'ehu? Be'isha me'et re'uta kenekes v'chule zahav. It should say, me'et ha-metzri, Re'ehu is a word of, it's a friend. V'avtal re'acha. How do you learn this pasuk over here? V'ish'alu ish me'et re'ehu. That's a hard language. Huh? No, I don't think so. None of them were their friends. The Jews had no friends in Egypt. We know that. And then what does it say over here? V'yish'alu. So they only borrowed it. Oh, so anyway, this money over here now is questionable. Doesn't say that they gave it to them wholeheartedly. They gave it to them. It was questionable the way they gave it to them. They only borrowed it. And now all of a sudden, you're going to tell me that this money that they took from the Egyptians, which is really questionable, המצרים מתו אז הבנים שלהם ירשים אותם קודם מתן תורה מי מת? אלו בים סוף מתו מי שנשאר במצרים ירשים אותם קודם מתן תורה לכן מעל מתן תורה אין גוי יורש ואין זה אבל קודם מתן תורה כולם שווים. So now we have a big problem over here. This is the money that they end up giving for the Mishkan. How could this money be given for the Mishkan? Not only that, but it says when they came out of Mitzrayim and they got to Yam Suf, it says, Ayam Ra'aba Yanos. And they came out, it says, the Yam saw something and it split. So it says, Mara'a, what did it see? Arono shel Yosef. And the Aron of Yosef floated up to the top, and the Yam saw the Aron of Yosef on the way out, as if that was some sort of signal. On the way out, they had to see the Aron of Yosef. Now, even the stuff that they took on the Yam Suf, bottom line, so the Egyptians lost it. Okay, but why does it belong to you? It goes to their children, the ones who are still living in Egypt. And the whole way they got this money, it wasn't as if it was given to them willingly, it wasn't as if they were given it, unless you say a simple answer, that it was back pay. Oh, it was back pay. Oh. Okay. Maybe it's back pay. Which would be worked for 210 years. The Midrash says that Alexander Mokedon once came to the Jewish people and had this claim against the Jews. Where's all our money back? We want all our money back. So we came along and answered, you want all your money back? Pay us all the money that we worked for 210 years and we'll pay you the balance. So there is some sort of truth to that, that the Egyptians owed us this money. But who owed us this money? But all owed us the money. The government owes us the money. So if the government owes you money, you could take from any citizen. If the IRS owes me money, so I can go to any American in the street and say, hey, listen, anyway, your government owes me money. You're American, show me your passport. I'm American, okay, give me $1,000. What is that? The government owes me money. What do I make of the government? So even if you want to tell me that there was a back pay due over here, who owed the money? Paro owed the money, not anybody else. So again, the question is going to be, when they're going to come to build the Mishkan, And we know that gezel in the Mishkan is a grave sin. It has to be understood how this is going to be legitimized. That's really the question. In order to understand it, there's a part in the story of Egypt that we neglect, although to me it's probably the most important detail of the story, and so many things as a result fall into place. What happened? There was a famine in Egypt, and the famine was progressively getting worse and worse and worse. And all of a sudden, people were coming to Yosef for food. And the pasuk says, "Vayitom kesef me'eretz Mitzrayim." They ran out of money. The people had no more money. The inflation was so great that there was nothing left. But they needed to eat. They told Yosef, "Hava lanu lechem, v'lama namut? We don't want to die. Ki afes kasef. We have no more money." Vayom Yosef, "Havu meknechem." Okay, what else you have? You have assets? Give me your sheep. If you don't have money, we'll take movables. They have you with Meknehem and Yosef. So they sold all their flock to Yosef for money, for food. Masusim, Meknehem. But they told Mashanahu, they ran out of the flock. They avoid Mashanah Shani, they come in the second year. Now we have no more behemoth either. But we're still hungry, got to eat. The only thing we have left is our bodies and our real estate. We don't want to die in front of you. גם אנחנו וגם אדמתנו. Kene otanu vet admatenu balachem. By us and our property, v'nihye v'obinhiye anachnu v'admatenu abadim leparo. They come along and say, we're willing to become slaves to Paro. V'ten zera v'nihye v'lo tamut. The next pasuk is the most important pasuk that's neglected in the whole Torah. Vayiken Yosef et kol admat Mitzrayim leparo. Moshe Rabbeinu bought the entire land of Egypt, Yosef, he bought it to the government. This is the first situation of eminent domain, communism, socialism, however you want to call it. He bought all the property. Now he seized all of Egypt. And now there was no such thing anymore. All the signs of private property were taken down. All the signs of no trespassing, all the signs of that has to do with ownership, nothing. Just like Lavdil, the church is the biggest landlord in the world. Lavdil. In Egypt there was only one landlord at the end of the story. Paro, he owned everything. Ki makru Misraim ish sadehu. They had to sell it to the state. So everything was state-owned. Ki chazak alehem ha'rav. Vatehi ha'ares lefar'o. Finished. The ares belonged to Paro. By the way, there's a big hadush over here. That's why the pasuk says, Anochi Adonai Elohecha, Asher Oseticha Me'eres Mitzrayim, Mibet Abadim. We know Eretz Mitzrayim is Bet Abadim. We know that Egypt was the place of slavery. What does it have to repeat it twice? Exactly. What the Pasuk means, Me'eres Mitzrayim, Mibet Abadim, from the place of Abadim, that they themselves were Abadim. Mibet Abadim. That means the Egyptians themselves were Abadim. We were Abadim the Pharaoh. And they were also Abadim the Pharaoh. And that's what the Pasuk says over here. V'nihyeh anachnu v'admatenu Abadim the Pharaoh. Everybody in Egypt was Avadim Nifaro. Not only us. And that's why the rabbis say that when God told Avram Avinu that I'm going to send you down to a land, it says, Ki ger yehi zara'acha beres lo lahem. That God is going to send you down to a land, lo lahem, that's not yours. Obviously, we don't have any land. The only land that we had was Israel. So God's going to say, you're going to go to a land that doesn't belong to you. But the depth of the pasuk means, you're going to go down to a land that doesn't even belong to the people that are living there. You understand? Be'eretz lo lahem. Which land does not belong to the people that are living there? Egypt. It's Eretz lo lahem. They're living there, but they don't own anything. Everything belongs to the state. Oh. So according to this, now we have a very good understanding now. Really, the state owed the Jewish people money. The state owed the money to the people. That's legitimate. That's money that's coming to them, that's not stolen money, that's back pay. They probably owe us back pay plus interest. They probably owe us back pay plus interest plus overtime. Go make the hashbon. No matter what we took from them was not enough to calculate for the work that we did. Oh, so our question was, we took it from the people. We didn't take it from the people. People don't own anything. Basically, we were just taking it from the state. And therefore, there's no problem. The only question then is, what is this language that pasuk says, Re'ehu, take from your colleague? Because if you look further in the pasukim, the pasuk says, Rak admat kohanim lo kana. That Yosef made a rule that while all the assets of the state must belong to Paro, but the priests, the clergy, their assets remain to themselves. For whatever reason, Yosef passed the rule of parsonage or clergy exemption. That's the first clergy exemption. Rak admat kohanim lo kana ki chok lekohanim me'et paro. Oh. So now this is very important. So the Jewish people, when they took this money, they had to make sure that they don't take it from the priests. Because if they take the money from the priests, that'll be stolen money. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the people, take ish me'et re'ehu. Re'ehu means somebody that's like you, just like you're a slave, only take it from the slaves that are like you. Ish me'et re'ehu. Take it from your colleagues, from somebody that's like you. But don't take it from the clergy, because if you take it from the higher level of the Kohanim, it's going to be a problem of gezin. And that's why the pasuk has to say, "Daber na." It says he has to plead with the people. The rabbis ask, why do you have to plead with people to take money? You never have to plead people to take money. So the Gemara says, "Shelo yomar oto tzaddik." God was worried that Avraham Avinu is going to have a claim. The pasuk says, "Va'abadum ve'innu otam arba me'ot shana kiyam bahem." Avraham's going to tell God, the slavery part you kept, but the money part you didn't keep. So therefore, God says, don't make me look bad in front of Avraham Avinu. Take the money from the, do me a favor, make me look good. I don't want Avraham Avinu to have claims. The depth of that claim was that Abraham Avinu was concerned that just like the slavery and the bondage happened to them, physically happened to them, which means he was worried that the money's not going to be theirs. He was worried that when they leave Egypt, they're going to get the money. But it's not going to be theirs. Because if they take money from the Kohanim, it's theirs, but it's not Bahem. It's not theirs, they don't own it. And if they don't own it, we're going to have problems going forward with the Mishkan. Now we're going to have problems with all that. That's what Avraham was worried about. So therefore, God had to tell the people, when you borrow the money, it's a little inconvenience now. You have to make sure it's Re'ehu only. Exactly. Even though the guy from the church wants to give you money, you have to resist that money. You can only take from the... And that's already the challenge. The challenge was, there was a restriction over here. There was a restriction. The Jews want to take from everybody. I'm working here for 1,000 years. I want to take money from everybody. Molev says, no, you can only take ish me'et re'ehu, because the admat kohanim is not. And now what happens? Now when the Jewish people are coming out of Egypt, the sea is about to split. And what's the whole purpose of the Kiryat Yamsuf? So we can eventually go to Har Sinai. It wasn't a goal to leave Egypt. Go to Har Sinai. Originally we were supposed to build a Mishkan anyway, by the way. So there was a plan to build the Mishkan. And how do I know we were supposed to build the Mishkan? Even before the Chetayegel. Because if you look, there's Parashat Terumat Tetzaveh, which talks about the building of the Mishkan. Then there's Parashat Kitisa, which talks about the Egel. And then there's Vayakel Pekudeh, which talks about the building of the Mishkan. That means there was supposed to be a Mishkan anyway, before Chet Ha'egel. After Chet Ha'egel, there was a revised plan of Mishkan. Mishkan took on a different... You shouldn't think that we only had Mishkan as a Bidi'avad. No, everything was going to be a Mishkan regardless. You understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying? Do you understand or you don't understand?
I understand.
Which means the Mishkan was going to happen anyway. I'll give you an example. If you look at Parashat, where does it talk about the sink? The first time it talks about the sink, the Kiyor. Parashat Kitisa. What does it say? מדבר אדוני משה לאמור, ועשית כיור נחושת, וחנו נחושת, לרוחסה. Make a sink for washing. Washing your hands. What's the sink for the bet? Hello? What's the sink in the bet מקדש for in the Mishkan? For washing your hands. לרוחסה. Every morning the Kohanim have to wash their hands. When is the second time it mentions the sink? In this week's parasha, we just read Nishtam Mikra Ba'ad Targum. Huh? No, in this week's parasha, we just read it. The pasuk talks about the what do you call it? Hayasem et kiyor benoil moed u ben hamizbeah. They put the kiyor benoil moed u ben hamizbeah. Here it says over here. Again, ועשית כיון נחות וכיון נחות לרוחסה. Okay, so obviously. ונתת אותו בין אוהל מועד לבין המזבח, you position it, ונתת שם המים. And you put water over there. ורחצו ארון ובניו ובמין את ידיהם. בבואם אל אוהל מועד ירחצו מים. ולא ימותו. ורחצו ידיהם ורגליהם. רחצו. This is what I wanted to say. ויעשה את הכיור בנועל מועד. Let's say it before that. Before it says where they placed it. So just make sure that it doesn't say it anymore. Yes, in this week's parasha, where it just talks about the Mizbeach, Vayasa tekiyor in Vayakel. Vayasa tekiyor nechoshet, vetkano nechoshet. It doesn't say over here, b'marot asoveot, they use the mirrors, asher saveu. Where does it say l'rochsa? Don't say, when it makes the first time in Parashat Tikitisa, Ba'azita l'rochsa. Here it says, v'yas tekiyor nechoshet, period. For what purpose? You understand the question or no? You happy with such a question? Why in the first time when it mentions the kiyor it says l'ruhsa, and in the second time of the mentioning of the kiyor it doesn't say l'ruhsa? V'yas tekiyor nechoshet, period. You know what the explanation is? Because there's a difference between the kiyor that was supposed to be built before Chaita Egel and the kiyor that was actually built after Chaita Egel. Before Chaita Egel, if they would have built the Mishkan, the only purpose of the kiyor would have been so the Kohanim could wash their hands. Finished. But you know what happened after Chaita Egel? Now there's going to be sinners. And you know what they use the kiyor for? Not also only to wash, but for the sotah. When the sotah becomes, guilty, what do? They go to the sink and they fill it up. Now it's not only l'ruhsa, it's also l'shtiyah. So Rebbe the Torah in Vayakel cannot say l'ruhsa, because it's not l'ruhsa anymore. So you see there was a shift between Bediyuk, there's a shift between the pre-Mishkan and the post-Mishkan. The original Mishkan, the Kiyor had one purpose. After they made the sins, we cannot say L'Ruhsa anymore. It's not only L'Ruhsa, it's for other things also. Now there's adult to be in the world. You understand? You don't understand. Mm-hmm. Oh, so now we huh? Very good. Nachon meod. Nachon meod. Bediuk. Bekitisa lo kotev al ze. Ze meduyak. Shrech Rabbeinu. Tanya kevate derav. Oh, so now we understand. God says, what do you think you're leaving Egypt for? You're leaving Egypt so you can build a Mishkan. Now we're coming out of Egypt and we get to Yam Suf and we have all the flus of the Egyptians. And now we're going to take all the money of the Egyptians that are going to drown in Yam Suf. And you know what the Yam says? It's all stolen money. It's all stolen money. Therefore, I'm not going to split. Therefore, we cannot build the Mishkan with this money. All of a sudden, Hayam Ra'ah, Mara'ah, what did it see? Aronot Shel Yosef. All of a sudden, the Aron of Yosef floats to the top. What's Aronot Shel Yosef? Yosef HaSadiq bought the whole country. Since he bought the whole country, eminent domain, everything belonged to the government. Yam, don't be so religious. Don't be such a hero, Yam. The money that they're taking belongs to them because this money was owed to them and they got a government check because everything belonged to the government. And therefore split. And therefore when they came to eventually build the Mishkan, all the money that was given, so comes out according to this, you really have to give a Chazak Baruch to Yosef. Because of Yosef, we were able to build the Mishkan. He really has a hand in at least cleaning the money for us in order to make it that the Mishkan will be Zahav Tahor. Baruch Amen. Amen.